You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, I got a question for you.
Whenever
you're, huh?
I'm ready.
I'm gonna find out if you are.
Come on.
When you suffer pain, what do you do to remedy? And I'm talking about physical pain. When you suffer physical pain, what do you tend to do?
I yell out.
Besides yelling, that's kind of girly, actually. Oh. But after you finish yelling, what do you do to deal with that pain, to tackle that pain?
Turn around, throw something at Sally.
Okay.
She's my roommate. And when I say roommate, I'm talking about work.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
She's in my office. So if I knew, I would throw something at Sally and say, "I'm hurting, Sally." I don't know, other than praying. I mean, you know.
Okay.
I'm going to try to calm down, relax, sit down, and then and pray. If I'm hurting that bad, what do you want me to do? Go to the doctor?
Well, okay. Well, maybe, but that's a good.
I already did that.
Yes, you did.
ER.
And Sally, how about you? And well, welcome all the way to Sally Leonard, who's in studio with us today. Sally, when you're in pain, what do you normally do?
I guess I'm not ever in pain much.
That's right.
I would pray, and probably try to take something more natural to relieve the pain.
You both are much more holy than I am. I would go, first of all, to the bottle of ibuprofen. I would take a couple of pills, okay. And then I might, you know, get around to praying after that. So I need to take your...
Maybe I would say take a leave first, or a natural.
I got a
stick that you can... Like when you have a headache, you can rub it on... rub it on your head, and it's got some kind of oils in it.
Oh, oils. Like a topical.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I hadn't thought about that.
We'll get more into the witchcraft later. Go ahead.
Yes. Witchcraft on a Christian radio show. Welcome to Career Callings. Where we tend or try to alleviate your emotional and financial pain of a bad career decision the natural, godly way, through biblical advice and not through heavy doses of Benadryl. So welcome to Career Callings, and we do want to talk about biblical advice on how to alleviate your financial and emotional pain. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and that's a financial and emotional pain tied to a bad career decision. So, Robbie Romeiser here, and you can join us by text, phone, or email today, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, by text or phone, and email at Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net, Robbie at careercallings.net. Now, a particular person I'd like to make mention of, who is also in the business of alleviating the pain of people that they suffer from making a bad career decision, is a lady named Kathy Caprino. Kathy Caprino specializes in career coaching for women. She does tend to write from time to time for Forbes, and she wrote an article for Forbes recently entitled "The 5 Most Misunderstood Issues About Building a Successful Career." And as she writes in her article, she had been recently approached by a web-based company called CredSpark.com. And I will, as always, link to that company or that website on my own website, careercallings.net/radio. CredSpark, I checked them out in preparation for the show. Never had heard of them before. And they're a website that specializes in developing quizzes for various businesses, for various reasons, and they use it as a way to help build audience on their website. So it's an interesting concept. Well, they approached Kathy Caprino to create a quiz targeted at women based on career issues that she had encountered through her time of coaching more than 10,000 women in their career choices. Now, As she wrote in her article here, to date, more than 700 people have taken the challenge, and what has emerged has both shocked and intrigued her. Sadly, she writes, only a small number of challenge takers have received a passing grade, which means correctly answering 70% or above. And while the test is indeed challenging, she believes that it basically kind of brings to the surface something, a particular thing that she has discovered in her 10 years as a career coach, and that is this. Most people don't have a clue about what's holding them back from a happier, more successful career. So, since this quiz was geared towards women, I did not want to put a wig on Maestro and ask him to raise his voice artificially, because that would have fooled no one.
That's a good idea.
And it would have sounded awful. So we don't want to go there. So we brought in Sally here, who's also in studio today, who can now Maestro, I don't want to be discriminatory. If you wish to answer these questions as well,
it's a quiz for women.
That's fine, you know. But if you want to get in touch with your feminine side, you're more than welcome to do that. But okay. I'm going to focus on Sally and see how she responds, and then we'll talk about those things. So, Sally, are you ready?
I think so.
That was not very confident, but that's okay. Here's the scoop. Here's the first question from the article. And unfortunately, it's a pretty long one, so I'll read it and with that in mind. Career women who have reinvented their careers successfully typically have taken one step first before all others. Which one of the following steps do you think is most critical to take first? And there are five. Here they are. Number one, take a step back and take an empowered perspective of where you have been. Number two, let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that have kept you stuck. Number three, say yes to your compelling future visions of where you would like to be. Number four, explore and try on new directions that excite you. Number five, and last, create it smart, meaning build a powerful plan to help you move forward. Now, which one of those do you think, based off what I just read, do you think would be the most critical step to take first?
The thinking, let go of the bad thinking or whatever that was.
That would be answer B, number two, yeah. Let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that kept you stuck. Very good. Wrong answer. The correct answer.
I go with number one.
Gary Miller. I'm impressed. You are in touch with your feminine side. The correct answer is indeed A. And she said out of 700 respondents, only 25% of those respondents got that right. And she writes, take a step back for an empowered perspective on where you are, where you've come from. That's the first critical key step. Understanding yourself intimately, gaining more clarity on your values, your passions, your talents, and interests is critical, she says, to do before changing anything else in your professional life. So that was very, very good. All right, so let's see how we do with question number two. The dominant corporate career model in place today draws on four key assumptions that don't fit a majority of women today. Which of the answers below reflect those four core assumptions? And I'm going to read six, and you can check all that apply. I know this is going to be hard, easier said than done when you're just listening. But here they are. FaceTime and full-time work are essential to professional success. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two, in order to succeed, you must demonstrate your highest commitment to work in your 30s and 40s. Assumption number three, your career trajectory needs to be linear, avoiding off-ramping and on-ramping to succeed at the highest level. That means, in other words, you can't leave for a few years to go have children. You can't leave for a few years to go explore the Bahamas. You got to stay on track all the time. That's what it means by linear, no off-ramping and on-ramping. Number four assumption, achieving increasing levels of compensation and power are primary motivators for professional contribution. Option number five, financial rewards will come to you when you help your company make more money. And lastly, assumption number six, aligning with sponsors who have more influence than you is essential to climbing the corporate ladder. Now, that's a hard one to answer because there's a lot of things to think of and remember there, but just take a quick pot shot at it.
Now, these are assumptions that the person is thinking about, or the company.
Yeah, her premise was, out of these six assumptions, which four actually exist in the workplace today, and they are contrary to what women today need from a workplace.
Okay, so they do exist, but they're contrary, and which four are those?
Yeah, and okay. I know that's a hard question, because there's a lot of them to remember. So just take, just to flail out, it's A through D, A, B, C, F, whatever. Just
can I look at them?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go ahead. There's the six right there. And since Sally is reading those, we'll go da 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 da. Gary, she's done a good job.
She's got her glances.
Okay.
She's got to move that microphone.
So Gary, how was the audio?
Four of them out of six.
Yeah, four of them out of six.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that sounded good.
Wow. Moving the microphone.
So
I would say.
A. Okay.
B.
All right. Two more real quick.
C.
Okay.
And E.
All right. Very good. Very good. Now, the correct answers were, I know it's hard for you listening to remember all those. Let me just tell you that she is one of the 91% of people who got it wrong. Only 9% of people got this right. A, B, C, and D were the right assumptions she was referring to. In other words, FaceTime and full-time work was assumption number one, are essential to professional success. And that is something that is difficult, for at least it does not align, I should say, with many of the values, needs, and priorities of women today. For example, many women assume the role of primary caregiver in their families, which means that they can't be there face-to-face all the time. It also means that they can't necessarily be in a linear position and be at work all the time throughout their 30s and 40s. They might have to take a few years off if they want to be at home with family. Another thing it is in direct contrast to is that one of those assumptions does not allow for women's other essential life priorities and needs to be met. For example, research has shown that women value meaning, purpose, and contribution and collaboration and other elements of professional life at least as highly as money, power, and responsibility. So the assumption that it's all about the money would not be accurate, when a lot of times people get from work, they want from work a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, not just the money. So we have about three more questions on that quiz to take, but we don't have enough time right now to take them. So Sally, if you don't mind sticking around, I know you want to leave, but stick around.
I've got her tied in the chair.
Yeah, buddy. And we'll pick up with this on the other side of the break.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
We're back in studio with Maestro Gary Miller and the lovely and gracious Sally Leonard. Joining me, Robbie Romeiser, your host of Career Callings. And Career Callings is a show where we seek to alleviate your financial and emotional pain that comes from a bad career decision. And you can join us today with your thoughts, comments, emails at 864-381-7649, to phone or text 864-381-7649. Or email Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. Before we took off for the break, we were having fun with a quiz from an article entitled The 5 Most Misunderstood Issues About Building a Successful Career, printed on Forbes.com by contributor Kathy Caprino. Now, we have about three more questions to go through, but looking at the clock, we're only going to spend some time on one of those. So, Sally, are you ready for the third and final question I will cover on air today? You ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. There are 8 core reasons that people remain stuck in careers they hate. Which is the most prevalent reason? Number one, they're afraid of the loss of money and security. Number two, they doubt their instincts and longings for something more, different, or better. Number three, they don't know what they're capable of. Number four, they've lost the courage to act boldly. And number five, they believe that it's too late to make significant change. Which one do you think it is?
Too late to make significant change.
I'd say number one, fear.
All right, so Gary Maestro, the wig man, says
A.
Fear, A.
Fear to change.
Sally says fear, is too late, believing it's too late to make a change. And the answer is you're both flunkies. The real answer is answer C. They don't know what they're capable of. And only 11% of people got this right. So, as Kathy writes, all these are reasons why people stay in unhappy careers. But the most prevalent and widespread, based on her research with thousands of professionals, is that people don't understand how talented, gifted, and accomplished they are, or where they can and what they can achieve in their lives based on those talents and gifts that God has given them.
Well, Sally knows how talented she is, so that's why she wouldn't.
That's true. Since she has total knowledge of that, I get that. Okay, but for the average Joe or Janet, they grossly underestimate their abilities and don't see their past or potential contributions as important and as invaluable as they are. So, in other words, it's a chronic habit that a lot of people have that they misunderstand or undervalue their value, if I can say it that way, or underestimate their value might be a better way to state that. And I think that's a fair statement. I think a lot of people I have met, I will say in my own life at times, I have had that same problem of being unable to see the value that God wants to use us for. I mean, you've got, as a Christian, we need to remember that it's not us that establishes our value. It's God that establishes our value. No matter how bad of a sinner you are, no matter how inept or expert you think you might be, your worth comes from the fact that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left heaven to come die on the cross for you. And that's where your value is. So if you believe that's to be the truth, and if you're a Christian, you do, then you also have to believe the truth that God created you for a purpose, and he's going to endow you with the abilities, the strengths, the passions to do a work that's mighty and glorifying him. And if you look at work, the workplace and your career in that light, then it's a little bit easier to understand what value you bring to the world, not because of who you are, because of who God or how God wants to use you. Now, another reason why you might want to run out of the workplace because you hate it is because of a guy that you're working with that might be just like this.
I think it's important for employees to realize that there is a genuine social distance between executives and themselves, okay? And there are a lot of executives who want to be, you know, quote-unquote, men of the people, and they want to relate to their employees, which is, I mean, it's just so foolish. It's hard to imagine that they've been so deluded. But one of the things I like to do is reassert that difference. And so when I interact with employees, I have a couple little routines that I do that are intended to demonstrate to them that I'm visually cleansing myself of contact with them. So, for example, I like to keep a little bottle of hand sanitizer in my pocket. And after I shake the hand of an employee, if they're talking to me about, you know, their job, I will take out the hand sanitizer and I'll wash my hand.
Oh, hi, Dr. Kristen. How are you doing?
Mark, how are you?
Mike.
Oh, I'm doing good. Good. Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say congratulations on the success of the book. We've been sending out a lot of them.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm sure that review in the Financial Times helped. That was pretty
nice.
Yeah,
that was great.
Inevitably, they will recognize that I am sanitizing myself from contact with them, and you can see that as they're talking, they begin to process the fact that there is a certain vileness to contact with them, and that can be very disconfirming. Of course, you know, other people, they simply just wipe their hands on their clothing or, I mean, I know one person who wears latex gloves when he interacts with his employees, but I think that's extreme.
Yeah, well, you must have a lot of books to ship out, and so I'm going to let you get right back at it. And so thanks a lot, Mark.
Quite frankly, that is...
Mike.
I mean, that's somewhat offensive. I mean, do you see
that?
Well,
to who?
Well, to me, personally, just in am trying to imagine this dynamic. Do you really see them as carrying infectious diseases?
Well, I think that a biologist would say that we are all carrying some sort of infectious disease. I don't know that realistically that... I don't know if they're carrying more than normal, but I would suspect they are. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, throw caution to the wind. What I would say, however, the more important thing is not protecting myself from disease, is simply reasserting the social distance between employees and executives. And this is really a very effective means of doing that. Now, I could do something like say, you know, I think you're beneath me, but I just think that's low class.
Yeah, if you work for a guy like that, you might hate your job. Just saying. So time precludes us from getting through the other two questions that on Kathy Caprino's little quiz there. But I would highly recommend that if you are interested in seeing those last two questions and see how you would do with them, go to careercallings.net/radio, and there will definitely be a link on today's the page on the website that dealing with today's show that will enable you to go take a read of that article yourself and take that quiz for yourself. Now, let me move on to another article I found quite interesting. This occurred a few weeks ago, and it's a report from theblaze.com, and I will link to this as well on careercallings.net/radio. And it was about a guy named Donnie Grooms in St. Louis. And Donnie Grooms had, as of a few weeks ago, had been unemployed for several months. Matter of fact, he lost his job in St. Louis in a corporate layoff around April 30th of this year. And after several months of no activity, no success in obtaining a new job for his family, he decided to be a little creative. And he took or printed off 800 resumes, went out in front of Busch Stadium, home to the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, and stood out in front of the stadium with his 800 resumes and a sign that read this way: "Unemployed. My family's dreams don't work unless I do. Please take a resume." And after spending an entire day in front of Busch Stadium, he had only handed out about 40 of his 800 resumes. And by the time he got home, he was somewhat, well, not somewhat, he was totally dejected, feeling like he had been a failure as a result of only handing out 40 resumes. But his wife knew better. When he got home, she let him know that her phone and Facebook page had been blowing up. Because while he was out there, he had someone take a picture of him with his resumes and his sign, and eventually they posted it, later on that day, they posted it on the Facebook page there. And it went viral. And in 12 hours, over 2.5 million views had worldwide had been seen of this photo. And within just hours of that, he got job offers from around the world. Now, I tried to check up on him today just to see if he had accepted a job yet, or it had been reported whether or not he had, and it had not yet been reported he had taken one. But by being proactive, by being aggressive, he generated some activity and was blessed as a result of doing so. I kind of look at it this way. In a career search or anything in life, God has designed the world to work like the farmer metaphor that I've heard many times. Maybe you have heard as well. The farmer is responsible for planting the seed. God is responsible for bringing the harvest. A lot of times we create a lot of stress in our lives because we think we're responsible both for planting the seed and for bringing the harvest, when we're not. What this guy did, I don't have any idea if Donnie Grooms is a Christian or not, but basically what this guy did was plant seeds and hoping that it would bring a harvest. And when we're out and about looking to pursue whatever career calling God has given us, whether that's changing from where we are now to pursue something new, or maybe we're a young person just graduating from college looking for high school for that matter and just looking for the next job, we ought to plant the seeds and let God be the one to bring in the harvest. And we need to do so aggressively. We need to go after those things, aggressively. And that just kind of reminds me of another metaphor. Some time ago, I was watching my younger daughter play a soccer game, and during the soccer game, I took note of the fact that everybody on her team, including herself, would drive up towards the goal But then all of a sudden, they would all be terrified to take the next shot. And they would get so close, they'd get to a certain point, and then they would just stop and step back and not do anything, not take the last step towards driving towards the goal. And many Christians, unfortunately, live their lives in much the same way as my daughter's soccer team. They were very aggressive. One part of the puzzle that I forgot to tell you is that they were very aggressive on the defensive end. When someone was attacking their goal, they would be very aggressive in defending. But when it came to attack the other opponent's goal, they were very, very lackadaisical and not very aggressive. And unfortunately, we do the same thing a lot of times. We step back and we play hard defense, but we don't aggressively play offense. In other words, we'll sit back and pray without doing what we're supposed to do, and that's plant the seed. I guess my point is this. When trying to pursue God's calling in your life, absolutely you ought to pray for God to bring the harvest. But he might just be waiting on you to plant some seed before he's willing to bring the harvest. You know, you do have a responsibility, and don't forget that. God bless.